Hey, it's Will Friedle.
And Sabrina Bryan.
And we're the hosts of the new podcast, Magical Rewind.
You may know us from some of your favorite childhood TV movies, like My Date with the President's Daughter.
And the Cheetah Girls movies.
Together, we're sitting down to watch all the movies you grew up with and chat with some of your favorite stars and crew that made these iconic movies happen.
So kick back, grab your popcorn, and join us. Listen to Magical Rewind on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Brought to you by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Who is there for heroes of the families left behind when a service member or first responder dies or is catastrophically injured in the line of duty? Who helps our country's homeless veterans? And who helps our nation to never forget 9/11? Let me tell you who: the Tunnel to Towers Foundation. The foundation's Gold Star, Fallen First Responder, Smart Home, and Homeless Veteran programs comprise their In the Line of Duty programs. They're all dedicated to honoring our nation's heroes and their families. The foundation's Never Forget programs engage people in 9/11 remembrance across America. Over 80 runs, walks, and climbs a year. Dozens of golf outings. And the Tunnel to Towers 9/11 Institute is educating kids kindergarten through 12th grade to help our nation keep its vow to never forget. More than 95 cents of every dollar you donate to Tunnel to Towers goes to its programs. Never forget the sacrifices of our country's greatest heroes. Donate $11 a month to Tunnel to Towers at T2T.org. That's T, the number 2T.org.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Kibi Rappaport.
And me, Michael Rappaport, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
You're listening to the Buck Sexton Show podcast. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Shoulder to shoulder, shields high. Welcome to the Buck Sexton Show.
Team, welcome to the Freedom Hut Tuesday, October 18th edition of the program. We've got so much to talk about here. The Biden administration pressuring El Paso not to declare a state of emergency over the city's migrant crisis. We'll discuss that. Also, going to release another 10 to 15 million barrels of oil. Why would they be doing that? Because they're trying to essentially buy off the voters with their own money right before the election. Just smoke and mirrors, friends. In this case, oil and gas. But same idea. That's what they're trying to pull off here. And then we have two-thirds of voters saying that crime is up and they blame woke politicians because apparently people are able to figure out if they suffer enough and there's enough crime and lawlessness and craziness, they're able to figure out that, these woke libs are ruining everything for everybody with their pro-crime policies. I don't even think it's enough to say they're not sufficiently anti-crime. They're pro-crime. They just figure we got to suffer more, you know, and then eventually if we suffer enough, the libs believe, through enough crime, enough burglaries, enough rapes, robberies, murders as a society, then maybe we'll be willing to confront oppression and spend necessary money, spend the resources to meet everyone's needs so there will no longer be crime that happens. I don't think that's really going to do it. I don't think the left's idea about the criminal justice system is going to work. I think everyone's figured this out, too. But first, we know that real estate is a really smart way to build wealth in the long term, but you got to do it right. You got to know where to invest. Timing on all this is really important. You need expertise in this. And if you're like me and you'd never invested in real estate before, that's where Done For You Real Estate comes in. Done-for-you real estate is a place where they'll walk you through every step of the investment process, from figuring out where you want to, meaning location-wise, where geographically you want to be investing. They'll help you find a house. They've got teams on the ground, brokers that they've worked with for years who know these markets backwards and forwards to get you a great value single-family home to invest in. And then they'll get you a management team. We'll also help you get a mortgage set up, by the way. Then get a management team in place. So you get a tenant there who's living in a great single-family home, paying you, so you get free cash flow coming every month, and you're building up equity over time. It's a great system, and it has worked for so many people, thousands of people across the country. So trust me when I say I've been a done-for-you client for years. You should become a done-for-you client as well. Go to doneforyoubuck.com. That's doneforyoubuck.com, and they'll walk you through every step of the process. My two brothers are also done-for-you investors, so I've brought my family into this. They really believe in it. We've done so well, and it's only been a few years. It only gets better over the long term. Doneforyoubuck.com. That's doneforyoubuck.com to begin your real estate investment journey today. All right, so the Biden administration was pressuring El Paso, the administration of the city of El Paso, the government down there, not to declare an emergency, even though it's clearly an emergency. But it's an election coming up. You've seen this all over the place. The Biden regime is scrambling to try to hide objective reality from people so that they won't make decisions about who to vote for based upon what's really happening. They'll rely on the propaganda of the Democrats and the Democrat media to do their work for them. That's really the plan here, right? This is what you're seeing on a whole range of issues. I mean, the pressuring of the Democratic mayor of El Paso, for example, not to declare a state of emergency. Why? That would mean that there'd be more federal resources and more attention on what is a federal issue, the massive influx of illegal migrants, 700-800 a day into El Paso. El Paso is not a large city. It's not Chicago, New York, Los Angeles, and it's having to deal with this influx. There are people living on the streets. I mean, there's shanty towns, there's tent cities, there's these encampments that are on the streets of El Paso. And you say to yourself, well, hold on a second. When does this stop? Well, it doesn't stop because the Democrats don't want it to stop. They want the illegal immigration to continue, and it over the long run, they think benefits them electorally. You know this. I mean, this stuff is all quite clear. So they want to hide it from you, though. The problem Democrats have with illegal immigration is not illegal immigration. It is people knowing about the scale of the illegality that is happening at our border. Knowing that it stretches Border Patrol, has stretched Border Patrol beyond the breaking point so that our streets all across America are more easily flooded with fentanyl. So that there'll be even more overdose deaths in addition to the 100,000 plus we've seen for the last 2 years. Democrats could try to end this, but ending it, or at least limiting it dramatically, which is what the Trump administration did, would mean changing the incentive structure. Biden doesn't want to do that. Illegals who want to come to America, Biden wants them to keep coming here. That is what we are seeing. That is what we are witnessing in real time. So that's one area where they don't want people to know what's happening. They want to hide it from you. So they said, don't declare a state of emergency because we don't want any more attention on what's going on. You've also got the Biden administration in the process of releasing about 15 million barrels of oil from the Strategic Petroleum Reserve. The idea here is this couldn't be any more obvious. This is the regime in power saying, right before an election, we're just going to try to drop the price of gasoline artificially, domestically, not by increasing production, not by actually addressing market factors. No, we're going to take what was set aside for an emergency and we're going to juice the gas market a little bit here. We're going to juice the numbers a bit right before the election so that a few more people here and there will vote Democrats and say, okay, they're bringing down the price of oil. This is crazy. It's so obvious. I mean, when I say it's crazy, I know why they're doing it. But the fact that this is the plan, because they're not trying to bring that price of gas down. They, in fact, want to phase out. Remember, Biden said, we'll phase it out. We'll phase it out, fossil fuels. That's what he was saying. And a lot of us sit around saying, that's completely insane. Why would you phase it out? You would destroy the economy if you did that. But they, at some level, I think, don't. They simply don't care if destroying the economy is what has to happen so that they can stay in power. They're willing to do that. They're certainly willing to save the planet from climate change, which is an anxiety disorder masquerading as a scientific consensus. That's what climate change is. It is an existential dread that people have because we're all going to die. So they attach themselves because they don't actually have a sense of why do they exist. We're going to save the planet. We're going to save the planet. No, they're not. It's actually not going to happen. They will not, in fact, save the planet. They will find themselves instead continuing to spout nonsense and craziness. On the crime issue, by the way, we'll make sense of that in just a second because that's a huge one. Right now for the elections, and Biden was just in Oregon. People are seeing what's going on there. It's not a good thing. But, you know, there's, speaking of crime, no signs of identity theft slowing down. More than $14 billion were stolen from identity theft victims last year alone. To cyber criminals, it's a success story. To the rest of us, it is a wake-up call. Your personal info is in more places now than ever, and that exposure can make it extremely easy for the bad guys to steal your identity. LifeLock by Norton makes it easy to help protect yourself by monitoring your identity and alerting you to threats you could miss on your own. If you become a victim of identity theft, a U.S.-based LifeLock restoration specialist will be dedicated to your case and work to fix it. No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses, but LifeLock by Norton makes it easy to help protect yourself. Save up to 25% off your first year by going to LifeLock.com/buck. That's LifeLock.com/buck for 25% off. LifeLock.com/buck, 25% off. Definitely need to check that out. It's something you need to have. I mean, you just need to have this operating in the background as you're doing all the things you're doing online, because otherwise you find out the hard way, and trust me, you really don't want to find out the hard way. We've got so much here today. I mean, another thing here that I wanted to point out is that, crime. Sorry. We'll get on to the crime issue. Then we'll talk about Carrie Lake and the way she deals with this. But this was back in 2016. Mandela Barnes is running against Ron Johnson for Senate in Wisconsin. You know, and it looks like Ron Johnson's probably going to win. They spent millions and millions of dollars trying to make this guy Mandela Barnes the next senator from Wisconsin. Now, Wisconsin, Milwaukee specifically, but Wisconsin overall has had a massive increase in crime in the last few years. Well, when you have people who are ideologically aligned against police in favor of the BLM Marxist movement, you're going to have really bad outcomes for public safety. It's very obvious. We see it everywhere now. There's just no doubt about it. But here is a flashback. This is Mandela Barnes in 2016, after five Dallas police officers were murdered by a BLM supporter. You remember that? This guy running around with a semi-automatic rifle, just murdering cops. Five of them killed five Dallas officers. Mandela Barnes went on the Russian propaganda network RT and said police officers are over-exercising their badges. Play 20.
Disturbing situation at the moment. We've seen a number of fatalities as a result of police violence over several days now. Do you think this is a worrying trend that's gaining momentum?
No, I won't say this is growing momentum. I mean, these are two things that, you know, happen at the same time. Two very tragic instances. And again, what the problem is, these police officers across the country, they haven't reformed their patterns and practices. And that's the scary part about it, because when they see that nothing is going to happen, when if anybody could get away with something, you're going to do it. And that's what's happening all the time. These police officers are over-exercising their badges, and they are going all out of the way. And it's a very unfortunate set of circumstances.
The problem is not that cops need to change their patterns and practices. The problem when it comes to public safety in this country is that criminals need to stop committing crimes, and that a very small percentage of Americans overall, a tiny, tiny sliver of the American people, are committing a vast majority of the serious and violent crimes, and they are repeat offenders, and they keep committing these crimes. They keep committing crimes, and then they're let out, and they commit more crimes, and they're not prosecuted, and they commit more crimes. This leaves all communities, black, white, Asian, Hispanic, you name it, all communities dealing with higher rates of crime. It's wrong. It's madness. And this is why in New York, latest polling shows Lee Zeldin 4 points behind Kathy Hochul. In New York. I mean, New York is really second only to California as a Democrat stronghold. You imagine the governor of New York could be a Republican and should be a Republican here going forward. It is absolute madness that anybody would allow Kathy Hochul to continue in the job that she has. She is an incompetent. She is completely out of her depth. But, you know, I guess compared to people like John Fetterman, Kathy Hochul looks pretty sharp. You know, Karine Jean-Pierre of the White House, she said that Biden met with Fetterman recently, and her claim here is that according to Biden, who is cognitively challenged, Fetterman, who is cognitively challenged, is as sharp as he's ever been. Play nine.
Speaking only about the president's personal conversation with Lieutenant Governor Fetterman, the president has found him to be an impressive individual who's just as capable as always and who's carrying out his office. He's currently the Lieutenant Governor of Pennsylvania, as we know, and he's doing that with great ability and heartfelt concern for the people of the Commonwealth. So, yes, the president feels that he is very much capable of doing the job.
President feels that Fetterman is capable. Let's just take a step back, because let's just be honest about this. One is they're lying to us about the capabilities of Fetterman. They're saying it's a motor skills issue, not a cognition issue. I do not believe that. Right? This is just they're trying to make it seem like they're not utterly reckless and ruthless in putting this guy forward. But now let's take a step back and actually just look at what he's saying when he is relatively clear. What kind of policies does John Fetterman support for Pennsylvania? Here he is saying, this is clip 8, I don't want any restrictions on abortion.
Do you support any restrictions on abortion?
I don't. I've always believed...
Even in the third trimester?
I believe that choice is between a woman, her doctor, and a God if she prays to one.
What was that he said? I don't believe. Yeah, I don't believe, he says, in any restrictions whatsoever on abortion. Ninth month, does the law protect that baby, that human being with a brain, a beating heart, a central nervous system, all of it? Does the law protect a baby at 9 months in John Fetterman's America? The answer is no. He just told you the answer is no. Monstrous. This is not a, oh, it's close, I don't know. That's just monstrous. We can all identify that. We're all aware of it. And it's appalling, but this is what the Democrat Party has turned into. This is the reality of it. Wait. But the Democrats get dumber. Nicole Wallace, fake former Republican, now fake centrist or whatever she calls herself. She's on MSNBC. And she says that the January 6th attack was the deadliest attack on the U.S. Capitol in history. She might want to check out, you know, what happened the day of, like, the War of 1812. But anyway, and then Peter Strzok said something even, remember, this is the Russia collusion conspiracy participant who was a deep state guy. Here they are. Play clip 15. This is over at MSNBC.
I've not heard one utterance of connecting the dots from Christopher Wray in the days after the deadliest attack on the U.S. Capitol in our, you know, in history.
Nicole, I think that's right. And I think if you look at the scale in terms of the threat to democracy, I mean, 9/11 was a tragedy. We lost thousands of lives in a horrific way that we still mourn to this day. But when you look at something that is an attack on democracy, something that could actually bring about a fundamental change to American governance as we understand it, 9/11 is nothing compared to January 6th. And the fact that the FBI and the rest of the government, if they are not on the same sort of war footing that we were on in the weeks and months and years after 9/11, shame on everyone.
He is a frightening moron, honestly. Like, he's so stupid the fact that he was a senior FBI counterintelligence official tells you everything you need to know about the Bureau. I'm sorry, it's true. The Bureau is run by jackasses. CIA, where I come from, okay, that's where I started my career. I wanted to help find Al-Qaeda, wanted to help my country after my city and my country were attacked on 9/11. I left that place. Why? Honestly, it started to get just woke and crazy and forget its mission, and there are morons running these institutions. Morons. And they're libs. They're libs. There are good people who work there, yes. There are patriots, and there are right-wingers in the CIA and the FBI. But you're looking at the top of the apparatus, whoa, crazy libs like this guy. He said 9/11 is nothing compared to January 6th. The only person who died from violence on January 6th was an unarmed 5'6" woman, okay, named Ashley Babbitt. That's it. That's it. No one else. I think she might have been 5'4". That's the only person who died. And they're calling it, he's saying it's worse than 9/11? He's a moron. He doesn't remember 9/11 and Al-Qaeda, they were trying to destroy our society and our civilization. They had other mass casualty attacks planned. They were looking to get their hands on nuclear material, on biological weapons. That's all true of Al-Qaeda. They were waging a war of annihilation against us and trying to destroy our society. He thinks that is less a danger to democracy than overwhelmingly nonviolent. Even the people who went into the Capitol, this is the truth. Even the people who trespassed on the grounds of the Capitol, oh my gosh, were overwhelmingly nonviolent. There were some people who committed violence. And unlike the libs who think BLM can riot, loot, and burn down anything with no consequence, and that's fine. Yes, you cannot attack police officers in the course of what had been a protest. That is illegal, and people should be held to account for that. But the people have been thrown in the D.C. gulag for January 6th involvement who did nothing violent. And no one thinks they did anything violent. But it's a threat to our democracy. These people are out of their minds. You want to understand how throughout history, these horrible mass movements, whether it's in Mao's China or Stalin's Soviet Union or, yes, Hitler's Germany, you want to know how people go along with this stuff? Look at the mentality of these libs. Look at the mentality of the people who are all in favor of masking and vax mandates and treating anybody who was there on January 6th like a political prisoner for all eternity because of the threat to our democracy. They're crazy. This is a mass delusion. And when you have populations that are in the midst of a mass delusion of the outside enemies, the external enemies that are being, you know, trumped up, there's that word, trumped up by the people in charge, you can get them to do anything. This is how throughout history atrocious things happen. The demonization of opposition to power. We are the opponents of power in this case. We are the opponents of the deep state. The demonization of those who oppose the centers of power in the regime and the mobilization of the sheep under the root, whether it's under COVID or January 6th or whatever, the threats to our democracy. This is how people do horrible things throughout history and think they're the good guys. This is, you know, this the people in Mao's China, they thought, oh, the Cultural Revolution, we're bringing about a great new society. You know, it's a new progress, if you will. But it's bad news, friends. Bad news. These mentalities are awful. These mentalities. It's really a mass mental illness the Democrats are relying on here. To say that 9/11 is nothing compared to January 6th, that is the quote. No sane human being could say that and think that they were still sane. Welcome to the Democrat Party. If you're not familiar with how they operate, that's the reality. More on all this tomorrow, friends. Thanks for rolling with me. Shields high. Born on America's darkest day of 9/11, the Tunnel to Towers Foundation has been helping America's heroes ever since. When a first responder or military service member doesn't come home and young children are left behind, Tunnel to Towers pays the mortgage on the family home to lift the financial burden. For severely injured veterans and first responders, Tunnel to Towers builds mortgage-free smart homes, enabling severely injured heroes to move around their homes more independently. Through the Foundation's Homeless Veteran Program, Tunnel to Towers is providing housing and services to homeless veterans. More than 3,300 were helped last year alone. Because all veterans who honorably served, whether in peacetime or war, deserve our nation's gratitude. People who put their lives on the line for our country and our communities need your help now more than ever. Join Tunnel to Towers on its mission to do good and never forget 9/11 or the sacrifices of this country's heroes. Donate $11 a month at T2T.org. That's T, the number 2T.org.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Kibi Rappaport.
And me, Michael Rappaport, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how to get comfortable with fear and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern.
People say, what are you afraid of, right? I'm afraid of fear because it's like I want to confront anything in my life that feels challenging on those levels.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.